Welcome back to week 7. How are you doing? I wonder how you're feeling at the start of this 7th week, knowing that as you look back, you've covered so many different topics and have a much greater awareness about how you operate, what your patterns are, what your behaviour's like, and what you want, what your goals are. And not only what you want, but how you're focusing on them, whether you're focusing on the positives or whether you've been focusing more on what you didn't want and hadn't realised it in the past. And now on top of all of that, last week we started looking at limiting beliefs and how they could impact on your goals and even stop you from moving forwards or stop you from taking action. So this week we're going to be continuing the work that we started last week, and we're going to be looking at ways to challenge any limiting beliefs that could be stopping you from moving forwards. And as always, to get us started, we're going to do a recap questions from previous week so that you can get yourself up to date with and clear about where you are before we move into any more new material. So grab your workbooks and let's take a look at today's questions. So what did you discover? What evidence did you have about your thoughts around being able to change your limiting beliefs? As always, please stop the audio and discuss this with your buddy or with your coach or write in your journal, but thoroughly write about it. What did you discover about your thoughts around being able to change limiting beliefs? Stop the audio, please, and do that now. And what did you notice about your self-talk this week? What did you pick up on? What did you challenge? Did you notice it? Write about that now, please, or talk about it with your buddy or your coach. And question number 3. Where do you focus your attention most of the time? And by that I mean, are you thinking about what you want? Or did you catch yourself thinking about what you don't want? Where do you focus your attention most of the time? And in particular, in relation to these 3 goals that you've selected from the beginning of this program. And what did you discover, question number 4, about your life and how it encompasses your values and your beliefs? And your values simply mean what's important to you. So what did you discover about your life and about these goals around your values and your beliefs? And how awake were you this week? How awake were you in terms of noticing the illusion that you've been living and shaking it off? 1 means I wasn't very awake, I wasn't very successful at that. And 10 means I was really fully awake. Where would you rate yourself in terms of that? And when you've done it, how do you know that the figure you've given yourself is true? Find some evidence, please. And question number 6. How can you use the answer that you've come up with, so the subjective rating that you gave yourself, how can you use that to become more awake each day from now on so that you can start to make the changes you desire over the coming weeks and when this program is finished? So take some time to answer that question now. And when you thought about your goals, what beliefs and feelings came up for you? And if you haven't given that some thought before, then do that now, please, before you move on. Question number 8. What was important about your goals? Remember I said above, that's your values. So what was really important to you about your goals? What is important to you about them? What causes you to want to take action towards them? Question 9. As always, what one thing have you learnt from last week's lesson? And question 10, what change or progress have you noticed since last week? Please capture that now. Talk about it or write about it right now. So here we are. As I've already said, we're at week 7. The weeks are flying by, aren't they? And your personal awareness must be amazing by now. So far, you know what coaching is. You know how to write a personal journal to capture your thoughts and learnings. You've got information about goal setting and what it means to you. You've completed exercises around how you operate and how you behave. You're aware of relationship challenges and successes. You've looked at your fears and patterns, and you've looked at Jahari's window and how you can use it to help you to get to know yourself better. You've looked at what you want to be, you've looked at what you want to do, and you've looked at what you want to have. You've explored choices, prioritised your goals, looked at time frames for your goals, explored coaching questions around what's in your gap. You're getting clearer about where limiting beliefs come from and the stage that you're programmed at as well. You've had an introduction to pain and pleasure theory, but of course there's more reading, a lot more reading around that if you're interested in it. We've looked at beliefs and emotional charges, and you've even had an introduction to self-awareness and how it can start to lead to change. You've broken goals down in order to identify limiting beliefs, and today we're going to start looking at techniques to support you in challenging limiting beliefs that you don't want to keep on practicing. Now, as you hear me say that, and as you read it in your workbooks, isn't that a huge amount that you've covered so far? 6 sessions, moving into our 7th week, and you've covered all those different topics. I hope you've really taken the time to recognise that the work you've put in, if it hasn't already started to pay off, then really will start to mount up now, because you've got so much self-awareness, and now we can start to use it to keep you on track and to move you towards achieving your goals. So you've got to remember that if you want to change any limiting beliefs, you have to believe you can. And that way, it's going to make it easier and simpler for the change to occur. If you don't believe you can change them, then you'll either walk away from the actions that you say you want to do, because why would you take action on something that's impossible? Why would you take action on something you don't believe you can actually have or do or be? So really important that you're identifying limiting beliefs that you believe you can do something about. So they've got to be in your power. And you've got to believe you've got some control over changing them. You don't need to know how at this moment. You just need to know that you believe it's possible that you could change them. So let's get straight to working on any limiting beliefs that you have. I'd like you to write your 3 goals out that you're working on at the moment. We're going to keep writing them out, because the more we write them out, the more we actually look at them, the more we start to imagine them, talk about them, challenge anything that could stop us from moving towards them. Each time we're taking another step towards believing in them and the reality of them and the possibility of them. So please do that now. Stop and write out your 3 goals. Make sure they're specific, as you already did before. Write them down exactly how you've written them in the past. Goal 1, goal 2 and goal 3. Please do that now. This is all still part of your recap. The next thing I want you to do is I want you to write down what your limiting beliefs are for each of your goals. I know you've done this before, but let's do it again. So take some time and write them out now. My limiting beliefs are for goal 1, for goal 2, and then for goal 3. Please take the time to do that right now. So now that you've got them all in front of you, either in your journal or in a workbook or however it is that you're using sessions, whether you've got separate pieces of paper, although a book would be best, but however you're doing it, now I want you to select one of the limiting beliefs that you'd like to work on that you've got from the 3 goals. So you might have had 1 limiting belief for goal 1 and 6 for goal 2 and 9 for goal 3. So you might have 16 different limiting beliefs there. If that's true, then I want you to select the one that you'd like to work on first. So please write down, you'll see it in your workbook, my limiting belief that I want to start working on first is. And then the second point is, what I want to believe instead is. So I've given you an example. So you might have an example, I'm not sure I'm good enough, and that would be too general. What does that mean? I'm not good enough to do what? So your coach would ask you, well, what are you not sure you're good enough at? And as a client, you might say, well, I'm not sure that I'm good enough to coach people and to be paid for it if you're training to be a coach. And the coach would say, so what would you like to believe instead of that limiting belief that you've shared with me, that you're not good enough to coach people and be paid for it? And the client might say, well, I want to believe that I am good enough to coach people and have them pay me for my coaching. So that's an example. So now take what you want to believe instead of that old negative belief and follow the checkpoints below. And you could also look back to week 3 to see this in more detail. So as you look at your checkpoints, you'll see the first one is my new belief specific? This is so important. If it's not, please get specific now. Is it focused on what I want rather than on what I don't want? Again, if you haven't done that, please do that now. So if you're saying I don't want to be, then you need to turn it into what do you want instead? Is it measurable? For example, how will you know when you are good enough to coach people? And what would someone who was good enough be like? You need to make a list. Now, your goal, you need to go look at it. You need to look at your limiting belief. You need to check Is the one that you want to work on, the new positive belief, measurable? How would you know when you had what it is you want? And then ask yourself questions like, what would someone who was, and then whatever it is you want to be like? How would they stand? How would they look? How would they feel? And how would they sound? Who do I know who has or could have what I want that I could role model? What are the capabilities or skills this person has that matches what I need to achieve my goal? Which of the capabilities or skills do I need to develop or work on to be more like them? What capabilities or skills do I already possess that matches those of my role model? Do I believe it's possible for me to have this new belief if I develop and take action on the above findings? So I recommend that you stop the audio now and that you answer all of those points before you move on to the next bit. Okay, welcome back. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I'm not sure I want the goal, and the goal is the new belief. So whenever you hear me saying the goal, I'm talking about your new belief. We're now working on your new belief as if it were a completely separate goal, which in my world it is, but for you that may not be the same. So the new belief you want instead of the old one is now your current goal that we're talking about for this session. So 1 is I'm not sure I want it, and 10 is I absolutely do want this new goal or this new belief. So how much do you want it? How much do you want this new belief to be true on a scale of 1 to 10? Go with a subjective feeling. And if it's not out of 10, if it's not a 10 out of 10, you might want to ask yourself, so how could I take it up a step? If it's a 6 out of 10, how could I make it a 7? And when you've got the answer to that, how could I make it an 8? You've done this before. How could I make it a 9? And how would I know when it was a 10 out of 10? And of course, then you can work on those steps, which, as you already know, are journey goals to get you towards wanting it 10 out of 10. And then when do I want it by? A date is very important here. So by now, you've written what you want. You know how much you want it. You know when you want it by. And you know what your strengths and weaknesses are around achieving the new belief. So here's step 2, physiology. So you'll notice above that I asked you, what would someone that you were comparing yourself to or who had what you wanted, what would they be like? How would they look and feel and sound? If you didn't do this part of the checklist, you're going to need to do it now because the next exercise is going to require that you do. Because this is the first step to challenging limiting beliefs and challenging limiting thoughts, and it's really important. Now you know the answers to the above questions, I want you to try something out. If you were to think of a person who was feeling a bit low or doubting themselves or generally feeling down, how would you describe their physiology? Where would they be looking? How would they sit or stand? What might their energy be like? I'm going to guess that you might have answered that they might be a bit slumped over, their eyes might be looking down, they might have low energy, be sad, or have a set facial expression with slow or heavy movements. Maybe you described it in some other way, but generally speaking, when we're feeling low, our body tends to move downwards. Our eyes do, our shoulders round, our head goes down. And people can generally, and we talked about this in a previous session, can generally tell that there's something not right, or that person isn't happy. So just check out what your answers would be to how would you know if somebody was feeling low or being burdened with limiting thoughts or limiting beliefs. Now, conversely, how would you recognise or describe a confident or happy person who had good energy? Same questions as I asked you before. Maybe this time you said they'd stand or they'd sit strong. They'd have their chin up. Their eyes would be looking ahead up and up. And their body movements might be light. And they'd have a determined look or a smile on their face. Or maybe you saw it in a different way or felt it in a different way. Well, let's try it. Let's see how it is for you personally. I'd like you to think of a time when you felt a bit low. Nothing too dramatic. You're on your own or you're with your buddy or your coach. But nothing too dramatic. It's a learning exercise. So I just want you to remember a time when you felt a little bit down, but nothing too heavy. And as you remember it, adopt the body language of a confident, happy person. So you're thinking about a time you felt a bit low, but you're now going to adopt the body language of a confident, happy person, as per your description above. Go on, have a go at it. Look up, stand tall, and try and feel low, or try and feel that slightly low feeling, when you're in that confident state, looking up with your eyes, standing strong. Now, if you're actually able to feel low, you might not be getting into this, in which case you need to start over again, because it's really important that you do these exercises with me and not just listen to them, not just think about them. You literally need to get up and have a go at it. So if you did, well done, but if you didn't, stop, rewind and do this again, please. The thing is, it's really difficult to feel low or sad without adopting the corresponding body language and vice versa. I mean, think about a time when you felt great and then go into the body language of the sad or doubting person that you described above. It probably won't feel the same. Or it probably won't feel as bad as you remembered it. Are you starting to get the idea? If you want to change limiting beliefs, you need to start by adopting the body language that matches what you want instead of what you've got. Some people, when they start out as a new coach or whatever their goal is, they won't know what it feels like to be, for example, a successful paid coach. So the role modelling exercise can be really helpful. The same might be true for you. Perhaps you don't know what it feels like not to have your limiting belief. And if that's true, you should find it useful to adopt the posture of someone you personally know or someone you've seen on TV and borrow the way they look, borrow the way they sound and how you imagine they feel so you can step into them whilst thinking about your goal. Try it now. Think about someone who has what you want and stand like they stand. Think how you imagine they would think and feel the strength or other feeling that you imagine you'd have when you own this new belief. Please do that now. Stop the audio. Do that now before you move on. Step number three. Technique is to catch and then challenge any negative language that may come your way. For this, you might need some help. So if you've got a good friend or partner and or maybe even an older child, I'm saying about 13 plus, you might want to work with your child maybe at 12 or 15, but I'm not looking for you to take your limiting beliefs or to burden your children with anything too heavy. So that's why I'm saying 13 plus, but it's at your discretion. You know your children, you know what's best for you and what's best for them as well. The idea, you see, is that you ask them to point out every time they hear you saying something negative about yourself out loud. When you do this and you leave it unchallenged, you're reinforcing and strengthening the limiting belief at an identity and capability level. And of course, if your kids are hearing this and they're not seeing you challenge it, they might adopt and take on some of your limiting beliefs too. So challenging them by recognizing them and having someone else help you can be a really useful step to start to break them. So Deepak Chopra, might have heard of him, Lee Poulos, Tony Robbins, just a few motivational speakers, say that we have thousands of thoughts every day, and some of them are mainstream, general thoughts about shopping, work, kids and other stuff in life. But of the remaining thousands of thoughts that we have about ourselves, for many people, it can be as many as 95% of our thoughts are negative, limiting and doubting ourselves every day. Now, of course, that's not going to be everyone, but for a large number of people, and I've talked to thousands of people over the years, have shared with me that inside they have more negative thoughts than they have positive ones. And I guess if Oliver James's figures are even close, if 50% of population have some esteem issues, then there's a good chance there's going to be thousands and thousands of people with limiting beliefs that are hidden behind a mask of confidence or an air of authority. For example, you might be surprised to hear that even when I've worked with individuals like CEOs or MDs, maybe your boss or the company that you work for, the number of them that doubt themselves, the number of them that worry about not being good enough or not being bright enough or being found out is huge. And yet they look and sound confident. Now, that doesn't mean that your CEO or your MD has got limiting beliefs or doubts, but I'm just sharing with you that just because somebody looks confident doesn't mean to say they absolutely feel it on every level all the time. So you're not alone if you are working on limiting beliefs here. So the problem with negative internal chatter, and even with a lot of the external negative chatter, is that it often goes unpoliced and unchallenged. So it's unusual for a friend or family member to challenge your limiting beliefs, I'm guessing, again from what people have told me and from my own experiences, and to then ask you, what would you like instead? I mean, that's what coaching's all about. They might say, oh no, don't be so silly, of course you're not like that. But that doesn't always change how we feel about ourselves. We might just convince them that we are, or we might just go, oh, okay then, but still carry on saying the same negative stuff inside and externally as well. So it's often left, and many times people will just let us say these things and they won't even hear them because we just say them in conversation and they just go unnoticed. Consciously they go unnoticed. So it's really important that you need to notice and catch or stop any limiting beliefs. And your kids and your family and your friends and your peers, they can all help you by you agreeing with them how you'd like them to challenge that. So if they hear you say something negative, they could say to you, oh, you asked me to tell you when you said something negative, or something else. Work something out with them so that you don't get annoyed or angry with them, and so that they feel it's safe to share with you and to help you with this task. So notice, catch and stop. Then challenge it by changing it into, what do you want to believe instead? What do you want to say internally? What do you want to say externally instead of what you used to say? Then replace the negative chatter with the positive chatter immediately. So it has to be almost like, stop, what do I want to say instead? Say it, and then say it to yourself a few times. And then practice saying it and start wearing the new affirmation of belief. Pop it into the place of the old one until it becomes your new truth. Now remember, we're planting something in place of the weed that used to be there. So we're pulling up the limiting belief, which is the weed, and we're planting a new beautiful flower in its place. If we don't plant it there, as we know in gardens, the weed will grow back, and it may grow back stronger than it was before. And so when you're planting that new positive belief in place of the old one, remember to adopt the physiology of the person who would believe that, as we did above. So who besides yourself could you ask to catch yourself saying limiting things on a daily basis? So if you're saying something negative about your goal or yourself, who is it you could ask in your life to help you? Take a moment and think about it, and then write it down in your workbook or your journal now. The person or the people that I will ask to help me with this are. And when you spot yourself saying something negative, or the person you ask to help you reminds you, here's a few simple techniques you can use to help change negative mind chatter into positive chatter, as well as what we've just covered above. So say something, preferably out loud, like stop or no. Of course, it's not going to always be possible to say stop or no out loud, so saying it in your head is okay when you can't say it out loud. The whole point of it is to break your state, interrupt the vicious circle of having that negative thought, which contributes towards knocking your self-image and keeping the old belief strong, and then allowing you to move into a new physiology and a new state, and then to say the new positive one instead. Second point, ideally use a hand movement, like putting your hand out as if to stop traffic. Again, if it's not possible because of being at work or in a public place, just introduce a small gesture, such as flicking your arm or leg or some other place in the body, to physically show your mind and physiology that you are breaking your usual pattern. And then say something positive, or say an affirmation in place of the old one. And as you do, adopt the body language of the confident and happy person you identified earlier, and smile. That's a really great way to change your physiology and to change your state and the way you're thinking. And then commit to practicing this regularly. Do it every day with every limiting belief that you catch, for at least 30 days. And if you miss a day, you have to start over again as if it's day one. And here is why. You might have heard that it takes 30 days to change a limiting belief in order to create a new neural pathway or behaviour. Well, Jack Canfield tells a story that NASA used upside-down glasses created by Slater as part of his work on perception whilst training astronauts. Apparently, the astronauts were given them to help them adapt to the changes that they'd be experiencing whilst in space, but they also wanted to see how they'd deal with any negative emotions associated with that particular challenge. Imagine how frustrating it would be to try and have a drink or pour milk into your tea or cereal when everything looks upside down. Anyway, whilst wearing them continually, it was reported that after 21 to 30 days, the brain flipped the upside down images so that now, when the astronauts wore them, they could see the right way up. Of course, when they took them off after that time, they were disorientated and had to wait for their eyes to readjust to the real world. However, as a byproduct of the experiment, those who took them off 15 to 20 days into the experiment for just one day had to start over from day one again and wear them for up to 30 days in order for the brain to allow them to wear the upside down glasses and see things the right way up. Are you with me in this? So in other words, the 15 days leading up to the change were cancelled out if the participants took a short detour or a break. How useful could that story be for you when you look into making changes to your limiting beliefs? How many goals have you set in the past and perhaps given up after day 1 or 2 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 9 or 15, etc.? How often have you said something like, it's just not working for me. I only missed one day and then I carried on being good again or taking action again, but it just doesn't seem to work. Well, hearing this story and researching Slater's work made quite a difference to me when I was working on my own limiting beliefs. Whenever I thought about going off track with one of my important goals, I remembered that particular story, and it motivated me to keep going for my 30 days so that I could create a new neural pathway. So just check with yourself, could that story help you? I mean, maybe you could get some plastic glasses, maybe you could do something physical and something visual that would allow you to remind yourself every day, you know, kiddies glasses or 3D glasses sitting there, and every time you thought about not taking action on your goal or allowing your limiting belief to take over, you could put the glasses on just to remind you. I don't know, just an idea. Think of something creative to help you so that anything I share with you that touches you or that sparks something in you, that you can think, how can I use this to keep myself on track? And props are a brilliant way to do that. So anything you can think of would be fantastic. So, next technique. Here's another technique which you could choose to use with the above technique, or you could use it alone. Now, if you want to use it with the above technique, then you might replace the stop. Remember I said you could say stop and use a hand movement. You might replace that part with the technique I'm just going to share with you. And if you like the idea of the following, it's a really powerful technique and it works quite fast as well. Again, I'd ask you to consider using it for 30 days. And the individuals I've worked with who've used this, and I did this myself as well, really found it very, very powerful and quite quick at breaking some of their old limiting beliefs and their old habits in terms of verbalizing them. So here's the recipe for you. Find yourself a thick rubber band that's about an inch or so too big for your wrist size. Place it on either of your wrists. Every time you or your supporters catch you saying something that's negative about yourself, you ping the band so it hurts a little. Now, the idea is you're not going to hurt yourself too much. It's not about punishing yourself. It's just about pinging it a little bit so that it reminds you that every time you're saying something negative about yourself, you are actually mentally hurting yourself. But because you've become so used to saying unkind things, you might have stopped noticing the pain that you're causing yourself in your mind. So if you pay attention to your body, you already know that negative language causes negative physiology. So the band is a reminder that it's time to stop making statements that are keeping you from your potential and your growth. And this action will also set up a painful association with negative or limiting beliefs and push you towards wanting to do something more positive or say something more positive instead. Now, some people absolutely love this exercise. A few people just really wouldn't consider doing it. They wouldn't like it at all. So it's entirely up to you. If you don't fancy doing this, remember, it's not about really hurting yourself. It's just giving you something to do to break your state. But if to you that is just not right, then please disregard that one and use the earlier exercise or any of the others that you might have coming up in the rest of the exercises. Okay, last thing I want you to do is check the statement that you want to say instead. So check what it is you want to say instead after you've pinged your band. So you've pinged your band because you've said something negative, and then you check what you want to say instead and say it 3 or more times in place of the old statement you used to say. So the pinging is equivalent to the stop, and then you're saying your new belief or your new affirmation. Say it 3 or more times in your head. If you can out loud, that's even better, and adopt the physiology of the new belief, the new statement. Then repeat this regularly and daily until you find yourself naturally correcting yourself and naturally saying the new positive statement instead of the old one. Eventually, you're going to train your mind to focus on positive statements about yourself. This is going to get easier and easier for you, and it's going to become more natural. I know because I've done this myself. Please stop using the band if it causes any unpleasant reaction or if you're using it in a way that causes you any inappropriate bruising or any harm. This is not about hurting yourself. I can't say that enough times. So some people love it and others aren't keen on it. I've already said that to you. So some people, they worry that if they take away or move on from limiting beliefs, that they're going to become arrogant or other people won't like them. Please get really clear that arrogance is not the absence of limiting beliefs, nor is it confidence. It's far from it. Arrogance is a form of self-esteem challenges. Those who practice being arrogant believe that they're more than someone else. And those who knock themselves down believe that they're less than others. So I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, but no one is more than or less than any other human being. When we work with our limiting beliefs and start to move forwards towards positive beliefs, what we're doing is acknowledging that we can be better than we are. So we're competing with ourselves, not with anyone else. That's called growth. And human beings do really well when they're growing and evolving at a pace that's right for them, without trying to be more than somebody else or better than somebody else. So when you compete with yourself and when you look to improve yourself compared to how you used to operate, then it's possible to evolve into a place of good or better self-esteem. And good self-esteem is never arrogant, nor is it self-depreciating. As a coach, I never look to get rid of limiting beliefs. My work's all about asking clients questions so they can become aware of what they've been doing. It's about helping them learn the lessons that they need to, and then using those lessons and that learning to behave differently in the future. Limiting beliefs are great teachers, if we allow them to be. I remember reading an article in Psychologist magazine some years ago that stated that limiting beliefs and a little bit of self-doubt now and again play an essential part in keeping us grounded and real. They went on to say that if you operate at around 75% positive self-talk, most of the time it's healthy. Mind chatter gets us to stop and check, to be cautious, to research, and to learn. And if we use it positively, we can grow with that recipe. If we didn't have any of that, we could end up arrogant, thoughtless dictators running around on a whim, knowing we were godlike and always right, which is not a nice picture, I'm sure you'll agree. So identifying your limiting chatter is really important, because you could choose to thank it. You could choose to check out if what it's saying to you is helpful, or if it's got anything positive or useful to teach you. Sometimes it has. Mostly, I found, it just wants to keep you safe and protected. So if you've got a message like that, then you can thank it and then work with the message. What we're talking about working with as coaches is outdated or old messages from well-meaning past teachers that no longer help us or serve us. We want to challenge that and we want to move on from it. Remember what Tony Robbins was saying, that there will be weeds in your garden. So stop watering and strengthening them. Pull them up, shake off the earth, and plant a new seed or flower in its place. Then tend to that with love and care and allow it to grow. You now know it takes around 30 days for it to blossom. So that's kind of enough for you to be thinking about for this week. There's quite a lot there for you to contemplate, for you to work on, and you've got a couple of exercises there that really could start to impact on limiting beliefs that are stopping you. I'm going to keep saying this, from moving forward, limiting beliefs that haven't got lessons or messages, limiting beliefs that are capturing you, your attention, and that are keeping you stuck in the past, and they just don't serve you anymore. They're like a ball and chain around your ankle, and it's time to set yourself free from them. And you'll know which ones you need to work with in order to do that. You'll know which ones are realistic and useful for you, and you'll know which ones are absolutely fear-based and have very little evidence to support them and are just stopping you from moving forwards. So next week we're going to look at more ideas to support your belief changes. We're going to look at 3 steps to challenge limiting beliefs and fears. So we've got more to build on, and we've got more exercises to help you with this as well. And your recap for this week is, we've identified your limiting beliefs around your goals, asked you to get help in recognizing them during your everyday talk, and also encouraging you to notice them for yourselves, but use your family and your friends and your peers, etc., to help you. We've looked at how to write a positive affirmation or a new belief, and I've introduced you to 2 techniques to help you break the cycle. You might like them both, you might just like one, you might try them both, and you might find that one works best for you. And of course, I've mentioned to you about practicing techniques for 30 days uninterrupted and the importance of it based on Slater's glasses and his perception theory. We've also looked at limiting beliefs and arrogance and people's fear sometimes. If they take away their limiting beliefs, they might become arrogant. And shared with you that that's completely different. Arrogance is completely different to not having limiting beliefs. And we've also talked about you growing some new plants in your garden. Here's the exercises for you to consider doing during the week. Become aware of your negative thoughts daily and capture them. Write them down. Notice them. Start to work on them. We've got the stop exercise for you, both the verbal one with the hand and also the one with the elastic band. I've asked you to consider changing any limiting beliefs into positive ones. So rewrite them immediately, re-say them immediately, practice them, and start to focus on what you want. Start to get your focus on, I don't want to do that, therefore I want to do this. Practice any new positive statements or affirmations. Practice them regularly and daily and congratulate yourself when you do the above. That's really important. Stop and congratulate yourself. Yeah, I found those. I recognized them. I noticed them. I did something about them. These are all actions, by the way, when I ask you at the beginning of the week, what did you do in your recap? And then find an image of your goals and find an image of them successfully completed and start looking at it. Focus on it. Focus on what you want. And then your last exercise, of course, is ask the questions below, as always. And this week's questions are, how often am I catching my negative mind chatter? These are your daily questions. Who have I asked to help me catch it? How have I stopped or started to change it? What techniques did I use or like best? What positive statement or affirmation did I replace my old limiting belief with? How am I ensuring I work towards keeping up my new practices for 30 days straight? And we've got an optional extra for you this time. I've got research and read more about limiting beliefs and how to change them. So you could look at books by Jack Canfield, by Lee Poulos, who I mentioned to you, by Tony Robbins, by Debbie Ford. And also I've got the Ultimate Belief Change Toolkit, which you might find really helpful to combat and start to break through with limiting beliefs. You've got your weekly action plan, which is write a sentence about what you think about the goal you're working on right now. And of course, if you've got three, you're going to do three of these pages. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want to achieve this goal? This is part of your motivation to keep you on track with it. And what three steps could you take this week to help move you closer towards your goal? Write them down. And then what will you do? So we know what you could do, but are you going to do them? Are you going to take all three? Maybe you came up with 10 different steps you could take and you're going to select two or three of them. What have you done over the past weeks to take you closer to your goal? Write your progress on your worksheet. You should be gathering a lot of steps by now. Your gap should be getting shorter and shorter every week because of all the steps that you're taking. So I hope you've enjoyed today's session. I really hope you enjoy practicing challenging limiting beliefs. Next week we're working more with beliefs, as I've said to you. I wish you a fabulous week. And I very much look forward, as always, to speaking with you again next week. Take care.